Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you've chosen us to be children of God and the followers, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you brought us in together to be the body of Christ. We're asking, Lord, that every blessing the body of Christ needs, you grant to us as a body in Jesus' name. And we pray that the death of your only begotten Son on the cross of Calvary will not be in vain in Jesus' name. We're asking, Lord, that your presence be real in the fellowship, in the assembly congregation this morning in Jesus' name. And the healing you provided for every individual, provided for every family, provided for the body of Christ, your grant to us this day. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name, we pray. And somebody there will shout, Amen. But thank the Lord who has brought us together in His presence. Come, please sit down. And He wants to reveal to us His might, His word on this important subject. Important because we have not heard this before. Important because this is central in the mind of Christ, with the head of the body. Important because without it, individual healing of an individual person will not be complete. And so personally, I am excited that the Lord is bringing this revelation of the Word of God unto us today. Perfect healing for the body of Christ. Not different from the body of the Christian. Personal healing for the Christian in your body of every form of disease. Wonderful. But we're not talking about the very body of Christ, the church. And the church needs healing. The body of Christ needs healing. Look at the body, Ephesians chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12. In verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, look at this, of the body of Christ. The edifying, the healing, the stability, the purity, and the wholeness of the body of Christ. Verse 13. In verse 13, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, the body of Christ, in its unity, becoming a perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, until the body becomes as whole, as healthy, as complete as the head. We come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Mark chapter 16, reading from verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Those who believe, they are baptized, they are saved, they are not isolated blocks, they are not isolated people. They come into the fellowship of the disciples of Christ, and they become a body, a unit, and that body of Christ, saved people, church, having Christ at the head, we need perfect healing. In verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe as a body. In my name shall they cast out devils. If they, the members of the body, will cast out devil, the devils shall not be in the body of Christ. And all the atrocities and activities and actions and affliction of the devils shall not be in the body. How can the body be tormented, afflicted by devils, go out there to cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues, that the body of Christ, the believers, the followers of Christ, those who are totally committed, consecrated unto the Lord as a body, they speak with new tongues. In verse 18, they shall take up serpents. The body will not be intimidated by serpents, spiritual or physical. They take up the serpents and throw them away, out of their way. And it says, hey, they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. The body has a destiny. And we have an assignment, a commission given unto us. And the serpent, old serpent, will not destroy the body before we get to our destination. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They shall lay hands on the sick. They members of the body, the body whole, the body healthy, the body delivered, the body having dominion, and with that dominion and authority, we lay hands on the sea, and they shall recover. Perfect healing for the body of Christ. We're looking at three subtitles. Number one, the prioritized honor and the sanning of the body. Number two is the preferred healing of diseases in the body. Number three, the preserved health and deeds of the body. Look at number one. Number one is the prioritized honor and discerning of the body. It wants us to prioritize the honor of the body, the church, the body of Christ. It wants us to discern that body and to so honor, exalt the body, that what we would rather offer to Christ, the head, we offer to the body, the church. Let's discern, let's recognize, let's honor the body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, reading from verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, ye members of the church, the fellowship of the church, the gathering, the congregation of the church, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, or members of the body of Christ. Some are hands, some are the feet that carry the body forward, some are the parts of the head, seeing, hearing, thinking, planning of for the progress of the church. Some are the internal organs of the body of Christ. They're very important, profitable, but they are not visible. They are not seen. They do their work under the other parts of the body. In verse 28, and God has set some in the church, in the body, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, telling us about the different parts of the body. Now, that body, can that body be sick? As a body, as a church, can the body of Christ, the church of God, can the church, the body, be healed? We need to settle that first. If the church, if the body of Christ can be sick, then the body needs healing. The church needs healing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm reading from verse 29. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning the Lord's body. Not understanding. Not having the revelation of the body of Christ. And if he does not understand that the church, the body, is of Christ, he will act anyhow. He will dishonor the body, and he will do whatever he feels as an individual he ought to do, while dishonoring and not discerning and not understanding the body of Christ. And it says in verse 30, it says, for this cause, for this reason, not understanding the body of Christ, not knowing the body of Christ, not discerning and honoring appropriately the body of Christ, it says, for this reason, for this cause, many in the church, many in the body are weak and sickly. Church, body of Christ, many are weak, many are sickly, not only sick, but sickly among you. And many sleep. Verse 31. In verse 31, for A, we would judge ourselves. If we will think of our own personal action, I think of my action, you think of your action. Am I dishonoring the body of Christ? Am I ignorant of the state and the spiritual value of the body of Christ? Do I think the very best of the body of Christ when I am receiving from the body? When I am giving to the body, do I discern? Do I honor? Do I appreciate? Do I bless the body like I understand the body of Christ? So, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That passage affirms the body of Christ can be saved. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. We're reading from verse 5. Now, when we talk of Israel, there is the Israel that came out of Jacob. But in the New Testament, in Galatians chapter 6, we're told that the church is the Israel of God. And as the Israel of God, look at verse 5, Isaiah 1, verse 5. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is talking to the nation Israel. It's not talking to an individual. It's not talking about what an individual is feeling in his body. It says the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. The Israel of God can be sick. The Israel of God can be sickly. The body of Christ can be sick. The body of Christ can be sickly. He goes on to tell us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Ephesians 5, 23. For the husband is the head of the wife. The husband, the head of the wife. We don't have enough time to talk about that. Many wives are turning themselves to be the head of the husband. And when you talk about that, there are people that will revolt, rebel, and it's part of the sickness in the body of Christ. But men, women may change, the world may change, but the word of God remains unchanging, unchangeable. The wife does not control the husband as if she were appointed by God as the head. The controlling woman, the controlling wife, is doing a work that will not be rewarded because God has not appointed her to do that. Doing a work that will be visited with God's judgment. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. The head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. The body is the church. And Christ wants us to understand that the church, the body, must have perfect healing. We come to verse 30 there. In verse 30, for we are members of his body. Everyone who is born again, everyone who is a child of God, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Look at Luke chapter 11, verse 23. Luke 11, 23. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. He, somebody professes to be a member of the body of Christ and is not with Christ. He doesn't accept everything Christ has said. He doesn't obey all the commandments that Christ had given. He picks and chooses. That one makes me feel some pride, some self-esteem. My friend, but that's against the word of Christ. There's no. And this will injure the body of Christ. I don't think about the body of Christ. I think about my own body. That is the problem. When you have sickness, disease in your personal body, you're concerned, you do everything to do so that pain, that disease, that sickness will vanish away. You do not tolerate sickness. disease or pain in your body, but when it concerns the body of Christ, there's pain there in the body. Spiritual sickness there in the body. You know it, but you don't care. You only care for your body. You love self above the Savior, and it doesn't concern you. And you do not give mind and heart, understanding, discernment, honor to the body of Christ. Once your personal body is all right, do you care about the body of Christ that is not all right? And he says, he that gathereth not with me scattereth, and he that is not with me is against me. In John chapter 10, reading from verse 16, John 10, verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. You identify with Christ in that, to bring others not yet of this fold, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, one shepherd. One fold, one body, body of Christ. They come after repentance. They come after faith in Christ. And with that repentance and faith in Christ, it brings them in. And the moment they come in, they are not thinking as individuals anymore. They're not thinking of what I like, what I want, what I love, what I want to do. They're now one fold. And they think, and they live, and they move with the body, because the body moves all together. It would be unfortunate if somebody is moving and he leaves the hand behind. You say, no, he cannot do that. Or he leaves his feet behind. He cannot do that. Okay, this is what he does. He leaves his brain behind. He's walking, he's moving, he's leaving, but the totality of the man is not moving together. The brain, the mind, the thinking faculty, the love for the body leaves that behind and it's just going on. No, the whole body moves on together. And one part of the body will not be moving in one direction, and then the other part of the body is moving in a different direction. No, there will be one fold and there will be one shepherd over them. I come into 1 Corinthians chapter 6, reading from verse 17. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You're born again, a child of God, you're a member of the body of Christ. It says, he that is joined to the Lord by salvation is one spirit. The spirit it has, the spirit you have, the plan he has, the plan you have, the project he has is the project you have. You're one spirit with him, you're joined unto the Lord, and you have one goal with the body, because there'll be one fold, and Christ be the only one shepherd. He makes us understand then that we are the body of Christ, and we prioritize the honor, prioritize the discernment of that body. Look at point number two. Point number two, the preferred healing of diseases in the body. Preferred, that word means there's another kind of healing. And then you have a preference. The preference of the healing of the body of Christ. You prefer that to your own personal, individual healing in your body. Why? Oh, because if you don't have a healthy body of Christ, there's division, there's pride, there is pushing each other, they're dividing the body of Christ, that's destroying, scattering the body of Christ, dynamic faith. For anyone's healing will not be present there. When you pray and you're not discerning, you're not honoring the body of Christ, you treat the body of Christ as if it were a kind of dead, defiled, defiling institution. Now you want to have personal healing. The Lord is asking, what do you exalt? Your personal healing above the healing of his body. That's why we prefer, first of all, let the body of Christ be healed, and then easily our own healing will happen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm reading verse 25. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 5. That there should be no schism, division, argument, conflict, scattering in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. No discrimination. We discern every believer, every believing man, every believing woman, whether they are close to us or not, whether they have any relationship with us or not, everyone, member of the body of Christ, there's no division, there's no schism or chasing in the body, but that we should have the same care one for another. And the care we have one with another is not when we understand what they do. How can you? You're not inside them. You don't know their plan. You don't know their goal. You don't know their calling. What God has called them to. You may not understand, but he's a member of the body of Christ. She is a member of the body of Christ. Maybe he's carrying some personal problem. Because of that, he's not smiling like you expect. Maybe He has some weight over his shoulders that you cannot see. Because of that, he's not living and walking exactly as you expected. All the same, he may not fulfill your expectation, but that everyone shall have the same care one of another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 11, 18. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. That's disease in the body. Divisions among you. You're thinking that way, he's thinking that way. And because you think in opposite directions, you do something that hurts the believer, that harms the believer, that disorganizes the life of that other believer, that causes sadness and sorrow, sickness of heart for other believers. That's a disease. That when somebody is scattered, somebody is devastated, or he plans to do, he could not do anymore, he becomes absent-minded. If he's not wise, he thinks of you, of you, of you all the time, instead of thinking of Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our Shepherd, the head of the church. And when you find people thinking about you more than Christ, they come to the retreat, they should focus their mind, their attention, their faith on Christ. But your action will not allow them. Your harmful habit will not allow them, that they think of you. They're praying, they're thinking of you. They're preaching, they're thinking of you. They're planning anything, they're thinking, would he allow me to do all this freely? Will she allow me to do this wholeheartedly? They're not thinking of the Christ who had called them. They're thinking of you. That is a disease, sickness, the body of Christ. Look at verse 30 there. In verse 30, it says, for this cause, the division that you cause in the body of Christ, the disease that you cause in the body of Christ, for this cause, many are weak. Many are weak. I don't know about other preachers, but I know about the average preacher. God has given them a message, and they have prayed, and they have sought the face of the Lord, and they are all excitement. And now they come to the pulpit to preach, and when he starts, praise in the name of Christ. And then as he moves on, his attention shifts away from Christ to somebody over there. And now the church has to be praying, oh Lord, here we are. Overcome, stop, every distraction. So we now know it's now common knowledge that there is distraction. We didn't choose to pray like that when we started. For many years, more than 10, more than 20, we didn't pray against distraction. There was no distraction. The body of Christ was healthy without the disease of division and distraction. And the average speaker will not say everything God has given him, will not preach everything the Lord had given him, because destruction there, destruction there, destruction everywhere. If the preacher does not observe that destruction is multiplied, and when we close our eyes and we're praying and we cannot see the destruction, distraction goes to the sound. And he's saying, that's enough. Don't pray more. They're wasting time. For them, prayer, praying is wasting time. And if you cannot see, you will hear. They want you to think about them rather than the Christ who saves us. The Lord who is wanting to answer our prayer. You see, you're giving too much time to Christ. We need to finish up, relax, go here and there and do nothing. It's the disease of the body. And it says, because of this disease, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Many sleep because we don't have the time to do the prayer and to bring the sick before the presence of the Lord. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 4. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, seed, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters, they are forsaking the Lord. That's the disease. It was the disease of Israel. Now the Israel of God, they are forsaking the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, why should ye be stricken anymore? Because they're going backward from the Lord in their devotion to God, in their respect for God, in their honor for the body, in their lack of discernment for the body. It says they've been stricken, but they didn't know they were stricken because of that. They didn't know they were sick because of that. So they went on, and it says, ye will revolt more and more, which the whole head is sick. It's not talking about one person, talking about the nation Israel, talking about the body, talking about the totality of the people of God. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. Take the body, take the leadership from the head, and take the members who just came in, the toes and the feet, no soundness. As leaders are sick and sickly, the members are sick and sickly, and nobody is thinking of why the body is becoming weaker and weaker, the body is becoming more sick and sick, the body is becoming more sickly. We believe in healing. I was seeing healing mostly of the people out of there. Newcomers, somebody invited them to the church. Or maybe they are members of the church, but not workers. But think about the core members of the body. The leaders, the members, old-time members, the workers, various section, you hear, this one is sick and sickly. That one is weak. Although not bedridden, cannot carry himself. And it says, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head there. It says there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. That the disease of the body, and the Lord will heal us in Jesus' name. As in Psalm 60, verse 2. Psalm 60, we're looking at verse 2. Thou hast made the earth to tremble, thou hast broken it. Heal the breach thereof, for it shaketh. Division shakes the body, like fever shakes the body. When those little mosquitoes come to bite, the fever, the malaria weakens the system. And when those little actions bite, instead of blessing the body, gives the body of Christ fever, malaria, that weakens the whole system. And here he's saying, heal the breaches, the divisions, and the distractions. Heal all those devastating actions of those little mosquitoes on the body, for it shaketh. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, reading from verse 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down. It's not talking about the hand of a sick individual, of a sick person. Talking about the church. The hands hang down. They wanted to serve the Lord, and it brought in the zeal, the pungency, the consecration, and the perfect, transparent obedience to the word of God. Somebody comes and he says, now, come on here. you just came to this section, do what we tell you to do. I heard the preachers, not one, not two, I heard the preachers say, we love God, serve God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. Come on, I heard that too. But what we tell you to do is what you do. So, you're in between two opinions. Do I do what I hear from that central pulpit? Or do I do what they tell me in our local section here? Their hands hang down. I don't know what to do. If I do as I hear over there, transparent, transformed, holy, righteous, they're watching me, they'll come at me. If I do what they say, I have guilt, I have condemnation. Their hands hang down. And the Lord is saying, give everyone the chance to lift up the hands that hang down and the feet, the feeble knees, feeble knees. You know, somebody, instead of standing, he kneels now. That message I heard, I must pray until my life conforms with that. He kneels down and somebody begins to make some kind of sound. When he hears that, that distracts his attention. He keeps on praying. They intensify that sound, and the fellow's knees are now feeble. If he's praying, he's uttering words without concentration, because his mind has been seized by that extraneous sound. Lift up the feeble knees. Those who are doing that, you're weakening the prayer life of the church. You're weakening the faith resolve of the church. The church is not better by less praying. The church will be better by forgetting whatever is around them and looking up to God and praying in faith to the God who answers prayer, who heals his body and heals our body. Looking at verse 13. In verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. By prayerlessness, by not preaching the full word, the totality of the word, and preachers holding back the word, they tell us they're going to have point one, point two, point three. Point three at the climax. Point three at the conclusion. Point three at the point that wakes us up, drives us on. But for whatever reason, they do point one, they do point two, and somebody is watching the time for him. And okay, he decides the point three, that will wake the church up. That will drive the church to prayer. It cannot give that. You see, stand up and let us pray. Preacher, what happened to point three that you announced? The powers that be will not allow me to do that. I don't want to fall into any conflict. I have no problem in my personal life. I don't want any problem from anyone anymore. We're weakening the church. We're denying the church of what it is supposed to be. Our strength in understanding, our strength in faith, our strength in the power of the Lord. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Let it rather be healed. Let the body of Christ be healed. Look at Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 9. We would have healed Babylon. That's not one person. Babylon, the city, Babylon, the nation, Babylon, the whole body of people. We would have healed Babylon, but she's not healed. The healing is there. The healing virtues are there. We would have healed Babylon. Daniel was there. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego was there. Ezekiel was not too far away. We would have healed Babylon, but she's not healed. Forsake her. The help we bring, she's not receiving. The health we bring, he is not receiving. And the soundness that we bring is not ready for that. Forsake her and let us go, everyone, into his own country. For her judgment reaches unto heaven, and is lifted up even to the skies. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, reading from verse 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we're looking at verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself, an house of sacrifice. Verse 13. In verse 13, if I shut up heaven, no man shuts heaven, but God can shut up heaven. Satan, the devil, that old serpent, cannot shut up heaven, but God can shut up heaven. Man, magician, monarch, anyone, they cannot shut up heaven. It's God only that can shut up heaven. What does that teach me? Once I'm living a life that pleases God in heaven, no man, there may be men, women, were not happy with me, but no man can shut up heaven. My concern, my concentration should be towards the God of heaven, who can shut up heaven. If I exalt a man, if I exalt a woman above the God of heaven, they can shut up heaven. And if heaven is open to you, that's all you need. You don't need the men and the women who make themselves gods, and they think they can close, destroy, devastate your destiny. No, they cannot. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locals to devour the land, the nation, or if I send pestilence among my people. Now look at verse 14. Now you'll understand verse 14. Many of us have not understood verse 14. We think he's talking about the healing of the person. No, he's talking of the healing of the land, the healing of the nation, the healing of the people as an entity, the healing of the body. That's why it says, if my people that form that nation, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, shall humble themselves and pray. Does prayer need humility? Yes, it does. Prayer needs for us to humble ourselves, to honor the body of Christ, to exalt God above our ego or ego. That they humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal. Not personal healing, the healing of the body, the healing of the nation, the healing of the church, the healing of the congregation, and will heal their land. Heal their land. May the Lord give us ears to hear, hearts to believe, and the might to do the will of God in Jesus' name. You need a better amen. Point number three now. Point number three is the preserved health and deeds of the body. When the body is healthy, we are active. When the church, the body of Christ, is healthy, then deeds of righteousness, deeds of evangelism, deeds in every area will crop up. The preserved health and deeds of the body. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city, the people that live in that city, of their city, is pleasant. Superficially, outwardly pleasant, beautiful, great name, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not. and the ground barren. Situation physical, situation external, situation man-made by cultivation, pleasant, good, beautiful, but the land, the water is not, the land, the ground barren. Verse 20. In verse 20, and he said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. 21. And he went forth unto the spring of waters and cast the salt in there, and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed, not healing one person at a time, healed these waters, and there shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. Healing the land, healing the waters will bring life to the people who live on the land and who drink of the waters there. Verse 22. Verse 22. So the waters were healed. So the waters were healed. A preacher's bring the water of life for everyone to drink. A preacher's bring the bread of life for everyone to take. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. We're looking at Hosea chapter 14, reading from verse 1. Hosea 14, verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. It's referring to the whole nation. Verse 2. In verse 2, take what you want and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our leaves. Verse 3. Asher and idol shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee, Jehovah, the fatherless findeth mercy. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. Backsliding is a disease. A disease of the heart. A disease of the mind. A disease that makes us in action go away from the Lord. And for a church, for the body of Christ, backsliding brings pollution, defilement, disease, sickness, both physical and spiritual. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. It tells us in 1 Peter sorry, Psalm. Psalm 67. I'm reading from verse 1. Psalm 67, verse 1. God, be merciful unto us. There is a psalmist praying for the nation, for the church, for the body of Christ. God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health. Look at that. The health that saves goes beyond the human body, the spirit, the soul, that thy saving health be known among all nations. First, among the church, within the church, the holy nation, then in the whole nation, then in nations of the world, saving health. That the health I want to pray about now, the healing of the body of Christ. Remember, all that has caused disease, the body of Christ, you want to recognize, you want to repent of, we're the body, members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. Our actions that cause displeasure also cause disease in the body. As we come and we're praying, not thinking, not meditating, not keeping quiet, but we come to confess the disease of the body of Christ. That's what Daniel did. The disease of Israel, spiritual, had sent them to the Babylonian captivity. And the Lord said, they'll be there for 70 years. 70 years have come and gone. They were still in captivity. And so Daniel realized the healing of the nation, the restoration of the nation, the recovery of the nation is not going to come automatically. That's why he prayed, Daniel chapter 9. And as he prayed, deliverance came for the nation. Recovery came for the nation. The saving health from God came for the nation. God will answer our prayer. He will heal his church. He'll heal the body of Christ. There'll be one fold, all united, not fighting each other. One shepherd, Christ, Savior, Shepherd, Healer of the body. He will do it for us in Jesus' name. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer. Remember, everything you've heard, some things are new to you. They're not new to the world. Tell the Lord, pray, really pray for the body of Christ. Feel the pain in the body of Christ. If you were praying for your own personal healing, how would you pray? This is the prioritized healing, the preferred healing, the preserved health. Pray in such a way that God answers.